Reading this morning from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. The apostles were brought before the council where the high priest confronted them. In no uncertain terms, we demanded that you not teach in this name. And look at you. You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you were determined to hold us responsible for this man's death. Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than humans. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God has exalted Jesus to the right side as leader and savior so that he could enable Israel to change its heart and life and to find forgiveness for sins. We are witnesses of such things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we ask that you would minister to our hearts this morning. Give us something from your word. And Lord, we just ask that our hearts, our minds, our ears would be open, that indeed your spirit would minister to our spirits, giving each of us something we need this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, I came across the song titled, "I Know." And unfortunately, I can't say that I know the words, and I'm certainly not going to try to sing it for you or cough it for you as best I can. But the words were, as far as I can remember, "You may think I'm a little old-fashioned. Well, friend, that's all right by me. I am so glad that I am a Christian, and from sin I have been set free. Not long ago in an old-fashioned meeting, I knelt on my knees there in prayer. My burden was lifted, sin's shackles fell from him, his presence was real everywhere. Now that the load I carry is lighter, and he's changed the gray skies to blue, each day is now brighter, for I have his assurance that his sweet love will carry me through. Maybe today, or maybe tomorrow, he'll come in robes of pure white. I'm packing up now, getting my things together. Who knows? He may come tonight." And then the chorus, "I know, I know. There's no doubt about it. He's real in my heart, and I'm going to shout it. I know, I know. My sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven." And then the tag on it, "Come, go with me to this place that's called heaven." The children have a different song, don't they? Well, it's really a song for all of us, but we try to pretend it's a children's song. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." You see, we skirt around the issue sometimes, but the fact is we claim we know, and then other times we claim we think or we hope. A young Anglican priest by the name of John Wesley was on the way to America. And as he was aboard ship on the way to convert the Indians, very noble purpose, a very fierce storm came up as he sought to cross the pond. And Wesley and most on board thought they were all going to die. Wesley cowered, fretted, worried, you know, like most normal people would given that situation. But he was fascinated by a group of persons who didn't do that. Instead, they sang and they prayed and they rejoiced in the midst of that horrible storm. Later, Wesley was talking to one of the leaders, and he asked him, how is it were that they could be so calm in the midst of such a terrible time? And he says, well, Brother Wesley, we know we're saved. Don't you know that you're saved? And Wesley says, and I replied, I hope so. I think so. In the book of Acts, the disciples have already been arrested for proclaiming Jesus. Here they are hauled before the council and called to give an account for themselves. Actually, they had been home free. They had been jailed. And then God had miraculously released them from prison, and the guards thought they were still there, and the people thought they were still there. They sent for them the next morning, and lo and behold, they were guarding an empty jail cell. Now color my face red. That had to be an embarrassment. But they hadn't gone into hiding when one of the chief magistrates comes in. He says, those fellas that you arrested yesterday, you know, they're back at it. I thought you put them in jail. They're out on the street corner now, still preaching and talking about Jesus. And so they had brought them in, and that's where our scripture lesson had taken up. As they challenged them one more time, saying, didn't we make ourselves clear to you? Weren't we perfectly clear that we don't want you to do this anymore? We don't want you to make waves. We don't want you to talk about Jesus, and we especially don't appreciate you putting his death on our doorstep and claiming that we are the ones who were responsible. Well, Peter was always quick to speak. Sometimes a little slow to think, but always quick to speak. And here he speaks. And he speaks that, says, we need to obey God rather than man or humans, as it's translated here in the Common English Bible. And then he challenged them, said, "This Jesus whom you hung on a tree, whom you crucified, God has raised from the dead." Whoa. That was rather mouthy, huh? From someone who, back in the 20th chapter of John, was one of those who was behind locked doors when Jesus showed up. From somewhat timid to fully all out committed. And it comes down to, what happened? What happened that made the difference? That they would not just say, we think that this happened, but we know that this has happened, that Jesus has appeared to us. This same Jesus that you killed, God has raised, and we are witnesses. We've seen him. If we were to go back to that 20th chapter, we would find that Jesus on that day or that evening of the resurrection had declared, in the same way that the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. I'm commissioning you to go and to share with the world what I have done, who I am, what God is doing. And the response that I expect. And they took their commissioning very seriously. And the question comes, you know, we've been commissioned too. How seriously do we take our commissioning to tell, to use our words, and not just expect someone to see by how we live without any references whatsoever? What we believe. And especially what we know. If we were to read on in that 20th chapter of John, we would find what happened. It says, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus breathed on us. God's breath, God's Spirit has been poured upon us. We belong to this Jesus. We know what we are talking about. We know what we have experienced. We know what we have seen. We know what God is able to do for you in this Jesus, what God wants to do for this world, what God wants to do for Israel, what God wants to do for all who open their hearts and their lives to him. And what of Wesley? Returning to England, making the statement, I went to America to convert the Indians, but who will convert me? And one night it happened. It happened at a place he didn't want to go, at a time that he would have rather have been anywhere else other than there, a little place called Aldersgate Street, where there was a Bible study. And one of these Moravian leaders there was reading from Martin Luther's prologue to the book of Romans. And as he began to read about faith, Wesley says, and I realize that I do believe, I do trust Jesus for my salvation. I do. And says, and then I felt my heart strangely warmed. This power of God. And there, Wesley changed direction. Not because of what he thought. He had had all of this training. He had been told all the right things, all the right words. But he knew in his heart who he was, who the Lord Jesus was, and the claim that he had on his heart and his life. And he had surrendered lock, stock, and barrel. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Do you know? We're told they knew. Wesley knew. Most certainly the disciples, the apostles knew. Do you know? And if you know, what then? The disciples, the apostles were among those of whom it was said, those who have turned the world upside down. John Wesley would declare, the world is my parish. Where is God directing you? Gracious Lord, we give thanks and praise for your call, for your love. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you would indeed assure us of your presence, that it's not something that we think, that because you have said it, you have promised, we believe it, and it's so that we know what we know. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn in your hymnals to page 13. We know and we celebrate as we receive together this precious sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke that bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. And we lift not only those who receive here this morning, but those who receive from the hand of those who go forth from here. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As the ushers come forward, we would remind you that you need not be a member of this church to be welcome at our Lord's table, for it is just that. It is our Lord's table. We have a tradition of receiving in the pews that this entire room and beyond is the table of the Lord. We ask that you would hold the elements in both kinds until all have received, and we will commune together. And if there are those who need gluten-free bread, if you would lift your hand, we will make sure that you receive that. God bless you.